Easy Natural English with Liam, an English listening podcast. Hello and welcome back. It's time once again for me to talk to you in English that isn't too difficult about a different topic. And today's topic is going to be about sustainable air travel or green air travel, or how we can fly in aeroplanes to other countries without destroying the environment too much. So if you have been a listener for some time, then you will know that I am concerned about climate change, probably like most people these days. Unfortunately, there are some deniers or some people that don't take it too seriously, but it is definitely, without a doubt, as proven by science, something that we all need to be concerned or worried about. And I am also someone that travels a lot. So if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you'll probably know both of those things. So I have done a lot of traveling by land. I have done a lot of traveling by train or by even cycling. So I have done some more sort of sustainable traveling or traveling that uses less energy. But I have also done plenty of air travel. I have taken many flights. I actually couldn't count how many flights I've taken. I have taken many over the years. So it's something that I think about a lot because it is known now that air travel accounts for about 3.5% of the emissions that are causing climate change. And 3.5% doesn't sound like that much, but it is a little unfair because apparently 80% of people in the world have never taken a flight. So this 3.5% of the emissions is caused by just 20% of people. So it's a little unfair to these people in many countries where they cannot have access to flights. Perhaps they are just too expensive, or perhaps they don't even go to the region where they live. And those people are affected by climate change just like us, but they are not taking these flights and causing this problem. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about how we might be able to fly in a more sustainable way. So let's take a look. So first of all, some of you might have thought, well, is there a problem with flying? Because perhaps last time you took an aeroplane, last time you took a flight, perhaps there was an option to cancel out your carbon. You know, there are these companies that buy carbon credits, or perhaps these other systems that are supposed to cancel out your carbon emissions. And a lot of flights these days, you'll see an option to tick a box and to pay a little extra to cancel out your carbon emissions. And this is, as some scientists have put it, one of the biggest scams against one of the biggest scams in regards to climate change, because it makes us feel like, oh, there's no problem. And it makes things easy for a lot of companies, these big corporations that want to get away with causing climate change, and they don't need to look bad because they say our company is carbon neutral. Perhaps that's a statement that you've heard before. But there are a lot of problems with this so-called carbon neutral system or these carbon credits, because for example, There are lots of problems, but I'll go over a couple of examples. So, for example, there are some companies that say that they are protecting a particular part of a forest, because the idea with these carbon credits or this sort of carbon neutral system is the company is either capturing or keeping carbon down on the ground. So, for example, by growing trees. When we grow trees, they need carbon to grow and they take carbon out of the air. So it's considered to be capturing the carbon that we have released. But a problem with this, as I just mentioned, is some companies or corporations will say that they are protecting a particular forest when it has come out later that that forest didn't need protecting because it just wasn't at risk. Nobody was interested in that forest, or perhaps there are other rules and regulations in that place that protected the forest, so actually they weren't doing anything at all. And then there are lots of companies that go and plant new trees, which is okay for sequestering carbon or for capturing carbon, but it is actually not a very stable way to capture carbon, because many of these new forests are not very stable, because compared to natural forests that occur naturally, they grow over a long period of time and they have, you know, these kind of balanced ecosystems, and you have trees or other organisms that can be, you know, hundreds of years old. And when we go and build these new forests, they usually have one type of tree. It's usually called a monoculture, mono meaning one. So they have these monocultures, or sometimes perhaps a few different types of trees, but all it takes is one threat to that forest. It could be a particular parasite or disease, and it will kill all the trees because they are all similar. Whereas if you have a forest that is more diverse, perhaps when a disease comes in, perhaps some of the trees will die, but because there is variation, there will also be a lot of trees that will survive, and they will be there supporting the system, and the system can grow and become more varied again. Whereas with these monocultures, it takes one sort of threat. It could be a parasite, a disease, it could be flooding, it could be wind, and they will all be weak to the same kind of threats because they're all very similar to each other. So these are just not very stable systems, and they're also not good for animals and insects and other types of life. If you've been to these kinds of forests, then you'll know what I mean. When you see all the trees in neat rows, you'll see that there just aren't many animals or other plants around. It seems very fake. And when you go to an old forest, you'll see it's all very overgrown. You'll see lots of animals and lots of life, and there's really a big difference. So these companies that go and plant these forests, this is perhaps not the best solution. But anyway, that's what we're doing at the moment, and it's not really working very well. So what are the other options? Well, some people have proposed that we might be able to use hydrogen fuel. It's already being used in rocket ships, these ships that go into space. But these are sort of huge engines that at the moment, I think there's not quite the technology to use these on airplanes, but it's something that some people are working on at the moment. So with hydrogen fuel, instead of producing CO2, the use of the fuel just produces heat and water. So it isn't such a big problem for the environment. And other options that are being worked on, and there's already some kind of prototypes or some kind of early models of, is electric airplanes. So there is a company in Sweden called Heart Aerospace who are working actively on this. But the problem at the moment with both of these technologies, with either using hydrogen fuel or with electric airplanes, is a lot of people are very skeptical. Skeptical means they're not sure if this is really going to work. So if somebody tells you something and you think, I don't really believe that, you can say I'm skeptical. So a lot of people are skeptical about this because it seems like the technology at the moment is not quite there, and both of these systems are pretty heavy, particularly the batteries used for electric planes. So it looks like this technology won't work for long flights for a long, long time. So a lot of people say that it could be something we can introduce for short flights, perhaps between some European countries, or perhaps if hopping around islands in Hawaii, for example. But it won't be something that we can use to fly from Paris to New York, or for these longer trips, which actually account for most of the CO2 emissions. So another potential option that some people say is more realistic, at least for the time being here in the present, is the use of biofuels or some other what are called SAF or sustainable aviation fuels. So biofuel, you might have heard of before, is a kind of fuel that's made over a short time span, and it's made from biomass. So biomass could be plants, it could be products from agriculture, or even domestic or industrial bio-waste. So that would be quite different from traditional fossil fuels, which are made from oil or coal. And another very important difference compared to fossil fuels is some biofuels produce much less or sometimes essentially no emissions. So this can really vary depending on the biofuel, but some of them seem like they might be a very important alternative to fossil fuel. Well, that was some of the possible alternatives that we might be seeing very soon or perhaps in the future. But what can we do in the meantime? And some of you might be thinking, well, it's very simple. It's just not ever take an airplane. It's never fly. And of course, that would be the best solution. But unfortunately, I guess it depends how you look at it. Perhaps it's a good thing, perhaps it's a bad thing. But either way, we live in a world now that is very global. Any of you that have been listening to the podcast for a while will know that, for example, I am a British guy living in Japan, and there are lots of people in the world like me, lots of people from one place living in another place and having family all over the place in many different countries. So like for me, I'm British, I'm in Japan, my family are mostly in the UK, my wife's family is American and Japanese, so some of her family are here in Japan, lots of them are in America, so we're all spread out all over the place, and if it wasn't for air travel, we wouldn't be able to see each other. If it wasn't for air travel, I never would have met my wife in the first place. So we do live in a world where we are all traveling around, and we're kind of at a place where for some of us, it's not really an option to not take an aeroplane. Perhaps we should all think a bit about reducing the amount of flights that we take. For example, if it's just for a quick holiday, then perhaps it's not really worth taking an aeroplane. Perhaps there are other options. For example, if you're within Europe, there are really great train options where you can get from country to country. But it also of course, depends on where we are. And unfortunately, for real change to happen, like with many things, especially many things related to climate change, we need our governments, we need the politicians to start taking climate change seriously and start implementing policies that will help us. Because you might have noticed that air travel can be very, very cheap. Like, for example, in Europe, sometimes you can travel from one country to another for sometimes 15 euros, which basically means you're only paying the taxes. You're almost getting a free flight. And the reason this can happen is because governments give lots of bursaries, lots of payouts to these big oil companies and also to the air travel companies. So it's doesn't make much sense that we live in a world where, for example, if you're in the UK, if you take a train from, for example, where I'm from, I come from Norwich. If you take a train from Norwich to somewhere in Scotland, like Edinburgh, that is usually more expensive than taking an aeroplane. And a train uses less energy, can carry more people, so should be cheaper. If we think about how much things actually cost, taking a train should be much cheaper than an aeroplane. So the only reason that aeroplanes are cheaper is because of the laws and regulations that exist due to the choices of our governments. So hopefully, I don't have much hope because our governments tend not to do the best things when it comes to climate change. But if the government implement policies that make things easier for train companies and make things a little bit harder for aeroplane companies, then perhaps we could be not causing so many emissions by flying so much. So I know that's something that would affect me, because there have been times in the past when I've taken these short flights when perhaps I should have taken a train, but it was actually just much cheaper to fly than it was to take the train. But like I said, that doesn't really make sense. So I don't know. If you understand why that makes sense, then please let me know. Anyway, that's all for today. So that was just a little bit about perhaps some options that might be available for reducing our emissions during air travel, or perhaps some things we can do ourselves. Hope that you all enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you back here next time.